Hey, thanks for tuning in to a new episode of the Phoenix MMA Podcast, day after Christmas episode. So, the gym, we had an open mat today from 12 to 2, got some training in, but this podcast I've been wanting to do for a while, and some recent things happened, and just some stuff happened, so I think it'd be a good time to do it. Pertinent, I didn't want to do it before Christmas, first, if you celebrate Christmas, Merry Christmas to you. If you didn't, then, you know, you got some rest time, you know, as most businesses are closed. But I've wanted to do this one. I didn't want to do it before Christmas, though, because we are going to go down a serious path for this one. I'm not going to make it too dark or anything like that, but hopefully it's informative. Hopefully you like this, and I'm just going to give my tips, and I'm going to try to be responsible here, but I'll give you my tips on there was an event that happened, so this is going to be kind of tips on if you're training, doing MMA, you know, Muay Thai, wrestling, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, anything like that. So, of course, the podcast is for my students. So, especially some of my younger students, I'm going to gear the end of this podcast some of the solutions. So, I know a lot of people, you know, a lot of people that we have military, police, and firefighters, and tons of, you know, everybody's martial artists. So lots of people might already know this information, or, you know, maybe have a little tip that maybe you forgot about, or, but especially my young ones, my teenagers that are in, this one, teenage and college age, listen to this one. So this one is, help you out. So, or if you've been watching the news recently, there's a high profile, story that's going on. These things happen all the time, but it's high profile, so it's on the news a lot. And I was there, I saw it happen. Well, the vantage point I was at wasn't great, but people are talking about it and thinking about it, so good time to do it, and especially the young ones. So if you're you know, in high school or college and you're training at the gym, this will be some tips for you. And if you saw the news story and you don't want to go downtown or go into a bar or a club or something like that because you're worried, this would be some tips. So you still got to be able to enjoy life, and it's, you can have a lot of fun if you go out. So we'll go over that. So hopefully, yeah, this one won't, again, I don't like anything that's too negative, but it is going to be some realness on this one. But hopefully it's good information. So it's a combination from my experience from, the main jobs that I've had that would coordinate with this or correlate to this would be, the sheriff's office, and before I went to the police academy, I worked in the jail. So it's different. It's a different thing. Working in jail is different than, being patrol or, you know, there's a lot of different law enforcement jobs. There's not just one. Those two, I've been a bouncer and security guard, or most people call it bouncer, but private security for bars and clubs for, 11 years now. Yeah, 11 years. So 11 years of being in bars and clubs and working in a jail and being a police officer. I worked patrol and was a SRO as well. It's like violence and violence crime is like really interesting to me. It's very interesting to me, like how it's definitely from a self-defense side, like because I grew up and my mom, she was assaulted and attacked and stuff like that in front of me. So seeing that, I was like, all right, need to learn how to deal with this. Need to, you know, it's definitely pushed me into the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and wrestling and MMA. But it is interesting. It's I don't think necessarily things that you're scared of you should like ignore, look away from. Things that are, you know, there's some scary things that we don't like, but they're important. You know, cancer, it's like you better like look up what causes cancer and avoid those things. So but violence is an interesting thing, because if it's ever around you and it really affects your life, you realize how heavy it is and how it's you know, it's potent. So violence ends lives, and there's that's the most important thing, you know, is life. So so the incident that brought this up, it was last Friday night for me. It was Saturday morning, actually. I think the story that I read says 2:52 is when Metro was called. There's two college age, I think 22 and 21, were stabbed. by one. I think he was 23 years old. One guy stabbed two. Another, or stabbed three. I think another was just injured. But two, I think a 22-year-old and a 21-year-old actually died. They tried to get him to Vanderbilt, but didn't have time. So it's really sad. The timing is really sad, too, right before Christmas. It's like, that's terrible, terrible. The reason why I'm making this episode is I heard the argument. I heard them arguing before it. I heard the, I'm not going to say the beginning because I think they were arguing inside the club. I heard it at the beginning, and then I got to see it over a few different minutes, but I was moving the entire time. And so I would hope that with this episode, if you're going out to a club or a bar, this doesn't happen to you. I talk about in the gym about balancing and working security, but you learn a lot of lessons in it, and like how to, there's a lot of social dynamics that are interesting with it, like how, you know, people interact with each other. But there's a lot of interesting things with because there's violence involved in the job. It's always like stopping fights or, you know, escorting somebody out, removing somebody from the property, things like that. So but yeah, the lesson on this one is that there was a decent amount of time that that fights I've seen, not gonna say hundreds, tons, like a lot. I can't put a number on it. It's a lot. It's more than like 30 or 40 that I've seen that looked exactly like this one. Like, it actually looked so normal to me that was kind of part of why I didn't pay more attention. So hopefully this will make sure somebody in the gym that's training the gym, if you hear this, you don't repeat this. So that was at 2:52. I clocked out that night at 2:44 a.m. so, and before that I was on a deck. I worked private security, not where the event occurred. It was actually across the street too, so it wasn't in the establishment. So I'm not going to say the business's name because it wasn't in the establishment. It was across the street, but it's close. But you know, they have to the argument originated there. And definitely we're going to go over some things with clientele and age brackets and things like that, on how you can actually, if you still want to go out, I'm going to give you some tips at the end of the podcast on things to do so that you avoid this, but you still get to have fun. So it originated inside the club and then went out into the street. These are going to be issues later on when we go over how to short circuit the ego fight. But yeah, went outside, out front, and then across, and then eventually across the street. I clocked out at 2:44, and before that, I was on a deck and a patio, and it's not insulated very well, so it's really easy to hear not the entire thing, but I heard the initial arguments about a girl. But again, it was so generic, it's not specific, it's things that you've heard anytime you've gone to a bar and you've seen two guys fighting over a girl. But I could hear it from the deck, the wood planks, you'd hear through it, so it's pretty close. Again, though, this is pretty common. Like, it's not abnormal. There used to, as funny as it sounds, there used to be where I heard the voices coming from, there used to be a hot dog stand there, and the hot dog stand would have fights all the time, because all the really, really drunk people at the end of the night, 3 a.m., when they get kicked out of the bars, they go to the hot dog stand, and so you just have a bunch of drunk people. That's the other tip I'll give you, is I'm pretty sure the stats, I'm very high on this one, but I just gotta have to make sure, so the stat is for people who are murdered or murder someone for homicide, it's over 50% have alcohol in their blood. So alcohol, first of all, is one of the first big tips. Be careful, is alcohol makes people aggressive. It's definitely trouble for that, and that's the reason why private security even exists. So it was a little bit before 2:44, with that being the time period. And the police were called 2:52. So the point of the times is that there was time to walk away. There was time to not argue. There was time to, you know, what I'm going to suggest in a little bit. So it's the worst thing is get into a fight, and then the seriousness is that you think it might just be a fist fight, or you're arguing, your pride's, you know, tarnished, something like that. Someone challenges you, and you don't, you think that this is gonna be a fist fight, Or maybe this is even like a tip to you if you're the guy who goes out to bars and you're looking for fights, you're looking to pick fights. Someone could in self-defense stab you, or in self-defense they could also shoot you. So wouldn't be a good tip. I'm usually not friends with people like that, but I do know a handful that like they actually have told me about they would enjoy going out and picking bar fights and stuff like that. But yeah, it might not be a fight. Might be somebody who's willing to do more than you you expect. I'm not going to go over the person who stabbed the 23-year-old who stabbed the 22-year-old. You can look it up. There's a long criminal history, things like this. The tough thing is I just haven't seen the video footage, so I'm just going to try to give tips around it. I haven't seen the video footage, and from the vantage point I was in, I was actually obstructed by a wooden fence, so I could see, and I'll describe exactly what I saw. So I did technically see it, and I could see the bodies moving and people fighting, but when I describe it to you, you'll understand why an obstruction would mess with it. So I heard it on the patio, walked, clocked out, parking lot, get in the car, pull out, forced to go through a parking lot, the parking lot of the establishment, by driving, then forced me to see. And one of the good things about this is, I know it's not a good look, and when people will do World Star, they'll video people fighting and stuff like that, but I think it might help with this incident with video footage, because I think I saw at least 5 people videoing, and it's a terrible thing to video something like that, but I think it's actually going to help with the scenario. Yeah, I think it's actually going to help with the scenario. So, as I'm driving up, look across the street, I can see, but it was a large number of people. That's all I say. It was a large number of people. It was a lot of people. It looked pretty similar to a normal bar fight. I say normal bar fight for after hours, after people walk outside of the bar. One second. All right. Sorry about that. Wait. So, the reason why it looked like a normal after hours, bar fight for me, or at the hot dog stand, is, whenever there's going to be a fight is going to happen, if it's after hours, not inside the bar and dance floor, but whenever there's going to be a fight, what happens is, for some reason, humans are just attracted to fights, and they kind of just start circling up, grouping around, and start looking, and some people instigate and say things. So that's your first sign. If you're in that scenario, that's a place you don't want to be. If you're in that scenario and people are circling around you and that's going on, that's when you need to hit the emergency release button, and your logic needs to overpower your animal part of your brain. It needs to say, all right, well, this is a place we don't need to be. We need to get out of here right away. So if you find yourself there, you're in the wrong spot. Okay, if people are circling around you and you and another person are squaring up and you're hurling insults, or sometimes won't even be saying a lot of words, but you can, the aggression's going up. That's when you want to hit the disconnect. You want to get out of there. But yeah, it was a large group like that. People grouped, that were around. I was driving over a roadway, so it was hard to make out exact details, but maybe 20 feet away. But it was a large number of people, and then the fight began. But when there's fights, when there's, say, 10 to 30 people in a fight, there's a lot of things going on. There's a lot of, it's really sloppy too. When people don't know how to fight, it's really, really sloppy. Shoes fall off, people slip and fall randomly. They bounce, they spin around throwing punches. Some of it's like comical how bad people can fight and how bad they do, but doesn't mean that you go in there and think you're Anderson Silva and just gonna one piece like knock everybody out and stop them. When it's a lot of people like that, 10 to 30 people, you can easily get outnumbered and get hurt really bad, and you can get sucker punched or hit in the back of the head with something, or stabbed or shot. So even though they're not fighting good, don't, just because you've been doing MMA or jiu-jitsu or kickboxing, don't go and run in the middle of 25 people fighting. Not a movie, obviously. But at that time, I pulled into a parking lot, did a U-turn, maybe took about 15 to 30 seconds total of driving across, going to the street, and then it was over. It was it had died down and settled down, and the I believe Metro actually found the suspect that they were looking for, I believe, yesterday. So, yeah, the suspect, the primary suspect, and then there were three other people with him. They walked, like, right in front of my car, walked over to the parking lot, got in their car. And again, there was a lot of people around. The problem with it is, you know, I was right there, but my windows were up. I think I might have had a radio on or something like that, not music, but probably a podcast or something. And from the vantage point I had, again, a lot of fights, like, you know, maybe 50, 60 fights I've seen that have been like this, where it's a big group. You know, the hot dog stand, for real, probably seen 5 to 10 fights that look very, very similar. And the ones for security that will actually get in is if other security guards are there, or, you know, trying, it's a de-escalation or it's a protection. It's, that's another tip. If you're going to be a bouncer, you don't go off the premises. You're not going to cross the street. You're going to be, you know, liable for that. And there's, you're going to get sued. You're supposed to protect the establishment that you're working. So, but the hot dog things, you know, won't get involved because there will be, again, it's not the property, but if a security member is there, we'll go, I still not going there to fight. That's the thing people don't think about bouncers. You're not like blasting people. You're not head kicking people. You're trying to minimize the fight. So, grappling's really jiu-jitsu, grappling, wrestling, judo is very effective for working security and being a bouncer. But it looked like maybe 15 to 30 seconds long and looked like a normal fight, and then separated. Both sides of the parties were still talking trash to each other, but again, that's not common. That's pretty common too. Lots of times people will fight for about 30, 45 seconds. People get tired quick. If they don't train regularly, they get tired pretty quick. They'll fight for, you know, 45 to a minute and a half, and then they'll get in this state where they're like breathing really heavy and they talk trash to each other and cuss at each other back and forth, and then the fight either it restarts again or they just separate. But the separate happens all the time after a fight. A little bit of damage is done and lots of the fights, like, considering lots of times people will see somebody get punched and get dropped and then they think that's the end of the world, and oh, so-and-so got knocked out. It's like, no, I actually, when it comes to fighting terms, not a lot of damage. There's plenty of fights, bar fights, where there's not a lot of damage because it's just so sloppy. So yeah, and then you can, I'm sure you know, you've probably seen the news story, so you can get more details, stuff like that. But yeah, that's one of the tricky things about it, is that it didn't look like anything bigger or more spectacular than a normal thing. But two people were stabbed, three people were stabbed, and two people lost their lives. So that's the tricky thing about knives. A lot of people, everybody's scared of guns. Like, somebody pulls out a gun or shoots a gun, the noise, it's loud, everything. But I'm much more scared of a knife, especially in close range, like a bar or a bar or a club or something like that. Knife is much more scary. It's quiet. It's hard to see. It does so much damage. And you can stab somebody with a knife really, really fast. And you don't even have time to get medical aid. So yeah, knives are, not for security. Definitely focus on that more. Most people are thinking about a gun. There's a YouTube video called Surviving Edged Weapons. It'd be a good one if you're interested in this and you want to watch it. It was one of the videos that we had in the police academy. It's funny because it's old. I think it's filmed in the 70s. 70s or 80s or, but it does a job. And, because of its old, the old and, the acting kind of makes it more entertaining to watch, but it has good information on it and it has things that you didn't know about knives. It's like fundamental. It's like the fundamentals of jiu-jitsu, be a good thing to watch. And there's some comedy too, some of the scripts and things like that. But a lot of people don't know that, like, an edge weapon, all it needs is, it can be as little as 1 inch penetration. So you can die from 1 inch penetration. Everybody thinks it has to be, it depends on the location of it, but we're just way more sensitive to sharp objects than we think. The gun's basic. And then that one they have in the video as well, for the training, the 21 feet. So for like a police officer, the train's 21 feet. If someone has a knife, they can get to you within 21 feet and still stab you. So you need more than that. So a lot of people don't realize that with a a gun or firearm. They're 10 feet away, 6 feet away, and they think that they could pull their gun out, shoot the person if they had a knife, and stop them before that. But it's just not the not what the studies show, not what the experience shows, not what's taught in the police academy. And when I went to the police academy, we were told that it was 21 feet currently, but the FBI wanted to extend it to 28 feet, so for training purposes. So they're doing that not to, like, brag about a knife or anything like that. They're doing it to try to save officers' lives and give good training and things like that. So probably good information for you to put in there and to save in your mind as well. That's the reason why knives are so scary in bar fights. So yeah, so what do you do? Yeah, so if you're training, if you train in mixed martial arts, MMA fighter, jiu-jitsu, Muay Thai, boxing, all that stuff, what should you do for in a bar fight, all right? So first thing we gotta go into is first, why not to fight? Okay, we gotta go over this first, and I know you might say, oh, it's going to be the boring part because Corey's just going to tell you never to fight, things like this. I'm not saying never fight. You definitely have the right to protect yourself, and you need to protect yourself, and you, that's why you train. That's why you practice. You know, that's why you you lift. That's why you run. It's part of it. So self-defense is an important part. So I'm not going to tell you never to do it. I'm just going to take away maybe the fun, not the fun, but let's see, the urge to, like, emotionally respond and respond to somebody. So the biggest thing is going to be controlling your ego in this scenario, and then being smart and letting your logical mind take over the emotions when they arise. So I'm not just going to tell you to just be pure pacifist and not fight at all. And then I'm gonna give some tips to lower the chances of you getting into being in an establishment that would have a fight. And that doesn't mean you have to stay on your couch and just stay inside and not be out and be social at all. All right. So the first one that I'm gonna give is, and this is from being like a bouncer or main bar, this most fights are ego fights. Like their egos get damaged, get attacked, or, you know, most of them are ego fights. I watch it all the time, because the private security I've always worked for, like, I've never drank while I'm working security, never, not even once. So most security jobs you will get fired. There are some security jobs that are lax, and they will either their employees will sneak it, or, you know, sometimes they won't on the record, the manager wouldn't admit it, but they kind of know that the security drinks, but they don't say anything about it. But again, they're going to get sued for excessive force all the time and stuff. It's just terrible. But most security jobs, you can't drink. But there are some bad examples. But I've never drank working security. Even I've worked in clubs where they would have allowed me to drink, but I never would, because I need your mind to be clear. So when your mind's clear and you're working security, you look across a room and it looks like a football field or anything else, and you just look at it and you just read, and you walk around and you eavesdrop, and as you walk around, you're just trying to just do threat assessments and just trying to see, are these people violent? Do these people want to fight? Are these people mad? Are they arguing? Is a boyfriend jealous of a girlfriend? Girlfriend jealous of a boyfriend? You know, has this dude stepped on this guy's shoes? Or that's all you're doing. You're just walking around and you're eavesdropping and you're just listening. And then, you know, if you eavesdrop something or you see something, then you investigate further. but a lot of fights, probably the most common one they ever see is, you know, it's two guys arguing over a girl. It could be, like in this case, I think that, someone maybe like made an unwanted advance towards a girl, or it could, sometimes I've seen it where, a girlfriend and boyfriend are arguing. I've seen this multiple times. They separate, girlfriend walks over, you know, some other guy comes over to talk to her, you know, girlfriend's talking to him, you know, whatever, she's upset with the boyfriend. You can look across the room and you can see the boyfriend's face, just, you can see like his face grow like a cartoon, like it turned red and his rage meter goes up. And in that situation, that's when you have to step in and intervene, and you don't let them get into a fight. You step in and you address it, and you figure out who you're going to kick out of the bar or the club. And who gets to stay? You don't kick both of them out, all parties out at the same time, because then they'll just fight outside. And that wouldn't be ethical to just throw them out there. That's, you know, so you want to keep them separate. yeah, you want to keep them separate from each other. Figure out who the aggressor is, and you know, make the nice people get to stay, and the jerks and the rude people and the aggressive people, we don't want you there. So you got to go. But yeah, the ego fight happens all the time. There's tons of other scenarios, but the main thing with the ego fight is just think it's like it's a back and forth, like you're playing ping pong. One person attacks the other person's ego, then that person responds, but they don't respond with equal force or insult. They have to respond with a higher level. It's just the nature of it, how it goes. So somebody says this, and then you say something worse, and you know, back and forth, back and forth. Easy way, I'm not gonna say easy, but the way that you do this, you just short circuit it. You just stop. So that's really tough. Okay, I know that if somebody insults you, they say something about you. They might say something about your gender, your ethnicity, your race, your height, your hair, your teeth, your mouth, your face, your brother. Your religion, like people have literally said all those things, like, so like bad. And if you're in the gym, I'll tell you some of the stories. I'm just not going to put on here, but, I'll give you some of the language and stuff, but it's I'm going to give you tips on the way to take it. And, if you're in these scenarios, that's, you get good at it working in bars, you get good at not taking stuff personal, and just, it actually is kind of funny sometimes. Sometimes it does make you mad, but, when you're in a good mood, you get good at the skill, you're having a good day, it's pretty funny actually. But yeah, the short circuit, number one most common one, I'll say the ego fight. Okay, that might happen at a football field or a cookout or, you know, whatever type thing, but the ego fight, and you just got to short circuit it. The reason why it's hard to short circuit is socially it's going to make you look bad. So to the other humans, your perceived ego is going to go down, your perceived social value is going to go down, and maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. That's the problem, is in your head you're going to think it. Realistically, if you're in a bar or club, you're never going to see those people ever again. Lots of them from different cities. You're never going to see those people again. You don't have to prove yourself to anybody. You know, that's one of the other troubles too, is if you're actually training and you know how to fight and how to defend yourself, you might have the urge that, like, okay, now I want to use this, you know, I want to use this for good, even if you're trying to help out. Or, you know, I'm not gonna let people talk to me this way anymore. Again, like, just first of all, just know, like, anybody who's like legit, like actually a good, mixed martial artist, like they don't care. It's not impressive. Like I've heard Jocko Willink on some of his podcasts talk about the same thing. It's like, dude's Navy SEAL, black belt jiu-jitsu, super tough, and like, no joke. He has the same perspective on it. Yeah, you don't have to go fight every idiot who talks bad to you, or, you know, does something, whatever. You absolutely can always protect yourself, but you want to be smart on how you're doing it. So yeah, the ego fight, to short circuit it, just stop, just withdraw. Doesn't mean turn your back, does not mean look away. This will be one of my other big tips I'll give if you're in a bar or club and if somebody's being aggressive. Do not look away. Okay, this is one of the most serious tips of it. Okay, do not look away. Pay attention to them. Okay, because there's a lot of people that they are, I would say they're legit cowards, because the sucker punch works, and the sucker punch is very common. So do not, if somebody you think is semi aggressive with you, do not look away. Okay, I see it all the time. It's really common. Two people be arguing and they're probably actually not gonna fight. They need something to push them over the edge. They need that little extra spark, and so the energy starts to die down. And as the energy starts to die down, someone turns their shoulder or they look away because they think, okay, the energy, you can feel it. You think the energy's dying down. Okay, less likely to be a fight now. And then the other person's the opportunist, and it's really dirty, and they're a coward. They don't want to have a fair fight, and they don't want to fight somebody who maybe can beat them. So they're going to take that advantage, but they still have a rage there. It's just holding. It's just being held back. Lots of times that's a part of self-defense too, is like be able to protect yourself enough where somebody doesn't want to attack you. That will happen. One person lets their guard down, turns, and then they get sucker punched. They get knocked out. I see that a lot. Okay, that is a legit thing that people do. It's dirty. So do not think that somebody's going to follow the same ethics or code that you have. Keep your eyes on them. If you keep your eyes on them, they're actually less likely to attack you, I would say, because sucker punch is a lot. When you turn your cheek like that, you turn away, they will. I see it all the time, sucker punch. So that's a big tip to take. But step out of it. You need leave the bar, leave the club, leave the establishment, the place, whatever it is. Take your friends, family, the people that you care about. Take them and just get out of there. You don't have to argue. You don't have to yell. You don't have to yell your case or anything. Keep your eyes on them, and then exit wherever you are. Go to your car and exit. I know it's not what you want to do, but again, it's just not worth it, and it's not potentially worth what it could turn into, or that you're going to jail or getting stabbed or shot. So, yeah, there's tons. I've had multiple scenarios with this. I had right around the teenage age, the one time of my life lived like in the country, one time lived in the city. In the country, the field party's really popular. So, yeah, I went to a field party, was told, like, hey, didn't do anything wrong, I'm not rude, I'm pretty quiet and stuff like that, but was like, hey, you gotta leave, had somebody taunted me, like, call me every name in the book, talking a lot of trash. I was with a good friend that trained with me, too, and about that time, we were both pretty good, like, pretty solid blue belts, good athletes, good wrestlers, too, and somebody's taunting, talking trash, and my buddy was actually, like, when we left, he was mad, he was like, the guy who was taunting me and was saying all the stuff to me, he's like, you could easily beat him in a fight, you know, it's easy, and, you know, and there's a lot of people there that saw that, you know, so, you know, he's feeling that feeling, and then I said, I was like, yeah, I was like, well, did you see his friend, like, 10, 15 feet behind him with the aluminum baseball bat? And my buddy just had no idea because he hadn't slowed down. He was taking it too personal. He didn't notice his friend that was with the baseball bat behind him. And even if I win that fight, I'm winning that fight. Let's say you're in mount position, you're throwing punches or whatever you're doing, you win that fight, you still lose because you get hit. Potentially his friend hits you in the head with an aluminum baseball bat and that could potentially kill you. Especially when their adrenaline's going, I mean, they're going to hit you pretty hard. Stats, just quick stats on just so you know, we'll do a numbers thing, make it more real. 2018 murders, stats for the United States, knives. There was 1,515, murders. Hands, feet, et cetera, like hand-to-hand combat, 672, and blunt objects was 443. That was from the FBI crime statistics. Let's see. Yes, FBI crime statistics for 2018. that's murder victims in the United States in 2018 by weapon, breaking them down. Guns, of course, everybody thinks about guns shooting people, but knives, hand-to-hand, and blunt objects, that's still a significant number throughout the year. So that you don't think something's going to happen to you until it potentially could happen to you. And you might only have one of these scenarios ever in your lifetime. If you work as a police officer or a military or a fighter or a security, something like that, you're going to be around these scenarios more often in your life and you can learn from them. So, anyway, don't be a statistic. What do you do? So what do you actually do with this? Since we got some stats and there's something in the news, some bad stuff, your reaction might be to just stay home and say, well, that's why I'm not going downtown. That's why I'm not going to a bar, et cetera, a club. I wouldn't suggest that because going out is a lot of fun. I wouldn't suggest drinking very often. I don't think it's obvious that it's not good for your health and it's not good for your life goals, things like that. But going out actually is a lot of fun. Doing some fun things, that's probably one of the things my fiance's sounds funny that let's say that's one thing she brought me to, but she definitely opened me up to more experiences. I was much more Spartan like when we first met, and it was gym home, which is awesome. I was perfectly happy with that, but I was missing out on some experiences. So she opened me up to experiences, events and concerts and, you know, orchestra and different actual more artistic events, more that are about the experience, and you have to leave the house to go to those things. Of course there's nature too. Nature's awesome. You have to leave the house for that. And that's an experience as well. But this is a going out, social events are also a really fun experience. And if you don't do them, you're missing out. It's definitely, fun. So if you think 4th of July is fun and New Year's Eve is fun, because there are experiences in your life, memories and stuff, there are some to be had, so you don't have to stay inside. The first thing I'll say is you want to be a black belt in verbal / mental jiu-jitsu skills. That's probably the most important one out of all of this, so that you keep yourself out of fights. And then we'll go over some physical, some tips as well. But yeah, what's a black belt, verbal, mental, jiu-jitsu, you want to practice humility. So don't build yourself up in your mind too much. Humility, you'll hear me talk about that all the time, but being humble will help you out. It'll keep you hungry. It'll keep you from resting on your laurels. And then, you know, if somebody makes fun of you, you can kind of laugh at it. It's like, you don't, again, if you build yourself up too much where any little critique will sting you really bad, you're probably going to be more reactionary, more likely to be easy to coax into a fight. Practice some good stoicism. Go look up stoicism. Stoicism will help you out with this too. It's how to deal with difficult situations, stressful situations. It helps a lot. Don't take things personal. If that's one of the biggest tips, if you're working security, bars, clubs, don't take stuff personal. Like people have, like I said earlier, they've called me like every name, everything, just like so many bad things. But just don't take it personal. It's not, it's alcohol. That's all it is. It's alcohol and tobacco and weed and pills all combined. It's people, you know. So, and maybe they are just angry, but if they're just, you know, if you're actually not being a rude person, not going around being mean, that person might have something bad going on in their life anyway. That's why they're so angry, and they're bouncing around angry everywhere they go. But yeah, just don't take it personal. Learn how to laugh at it. You want to, if you're in a violent situation, or like you're just in like an altercation, like a verbal altercation, you're going at it, the things are going to get heightened, and you're going to feel your adrenaline, you're going to feel your heart rate elevate, stuff like that. You'll get ready, that fight or flight. You want to practice slowing down in the moment and paying attention. You do have to have experience, and the more you do this, the better it gets, but it does kind of slow down like a movie. But biggest thing is just in that scenario, like try to actually focus on things. Try to actually think about stuff. You won't be able to focus the entire time. There's too much to focus on. There's too many things. But when it comes down to what rational decisions to make, or trying to be present in the moment, the emotional reaction might cause you to just blast somebody and punch them in the face, or say something that you don't need to say that causes that you can make somebody have to fight you. You definitely can do that. You can push somebody so hard where they have to fight you. They have no option. You know, if I see a guy, it's not a guy and a girl, and they're still, like you can tell by people's body language, how they talk, if they're still in the early phase of dating and they're over there kind of talking and stuff. If the guy does something that's not allowed, let's say has a vape pen, and you can't vape pen indoor. So I'll walk up. I don't walk up and say it loud enough for his date to hear, but I'll walk up and whisper in his ear, like, and I'll even say, "Hey brother, we're actually not allowed to have vape pens inside the building." And then he'll look at me and say, "Oh, okay, no problem." But the biggest thing is, like, you don't purposely cause somebody to fight you. I could do that in another way and make it where the stats where percentages would go up significantly, where he would fight me because I just make him look bad in front of his date. And, you know, so you want to slow down. You'll be able to make better decisions. Let's see, the next tip I'd give, and this is going to be, you know, bar, club, this can go for different things, but especially a bar and club, one of the best easy, simple tips to remember, or that I was taught in the police academy that I remember, is think hands kill. Hands are serious. Hands are going to punch you. Hands will grab knives. Hands will grab guns. If you're in a scenario like this, the hands kill. You want to focus on the person's hands, okay? Hands also tell you the state of mind of a person. If you look down and their fist is balled, they've made a fist, they're either going to punch you or they're prepared to punch you. So you can tell somebody's hands are loose, they're in a relaxed state. If they're shaking, they're scared, they're nervous. That doesn't mean they won't punch you, but when people are shaking, like, it's like an electricity, you can't contain it sometimes. Sometimes there's so much energy, that person will still punch you. But the hands are important. hands kill. Okay. For security, always, anytime we have to escort someone out of the bar, hands are always what I'm focused on. Okay. I'm always, always at minimum one hand I'm controlling. Even when you have to escort somebody out of the bar and you're having to forcibly remove them, that always controlling at least one hand, focusing on, you know, both hands. I had one, a little while ago with a guy that was, it was me and him. We were literally face to face by the dance floor. He had an issue with the dress code, and I let him know about the dress code, what he couldn't do. His response was just cussing me out right away. Like literally just, hey, and I talk really nice. It's like, hey man, you know, hate to do it, but we don't allow cutoff shirts, in the bar. They should have let you know that at the door, but if you want, you can buy a shirt from the bar and put it on, and then, you know, that, but otherwise we, you know, you can't have cutoff sleeve shirts. And the response instantly from that, like I was probably even nicer than that right now. But the response was just cussing those right away. And I just, you know, and then it got worse. It was more aggressive from that. It was then, more and more aggressive, you know, like, you know, 1 or 2 feet away, really inside 3 feet, inside arm distance, face to face. So in that scenario, it's like, all right, we're probably going to have to fight. This guy wants to fight me, and I got to kick him out. I had no backup, had nobody else that could help me. I was in the middle of the dance floor, or close to the middle. Nobody else could see me, and dance floor is hard for the radio. So at that time, had to escort him out. The first thing is I grabbed his wrist, so it's going to be harder to throw a punch at you if they want to. If they're going to try to clinch with you and grapple with you, you at least it's going to be harder because you got wrist control. If they're trying to grab a knife or a gun, if they're trying to reach for their pocket, their waistband, you get to feel that. So it tells you a lot. And with this scenario, what happened was I didn't grab his wrist hard either. I start really, really soft, like just guiding wrist, and walked him the entire time. He talked trash to me and cussed me out the entire time. Didn't resist at all. Just talked trash. Just needed to do that for his ego, to look good to his friends and stuff, like cussing me out and everything. And his girlfriend even told me that I needed to grow taller. So that's what I mean by some of these insults. They're so ridiculous that you just laugh when you hear them. So yeah, she told me I needed to grow taller. So I'm not gonna take that. You know, whatever, it's not serious. I can't even grow taller even if I wanted to. So, hands kill, focus on the hands. Anytime you're violent situation, hands kill, focus on the hands. You can use a 2-on-1 wrist control like a baseball bat. Sometimes I'll grab a wrist like a tight waist, but bring it to your the person's waist and hold it, and then keep your eye on the other wrist. So yeah, pay attention to that. Next one is make distance. Make distance, aka run. Okay, make distance. All right, if somebody pulls a knife out and you're in a parking lot, run, get out of there. Or you're in like a, you know, outside a bar. In this scenario, you're out front. Somebody pulls a knife, run. Okay, run. Doesn't have to be fancy. Doesn't matter if you think somebody thinks that you look like you're scared or you're a coward. Run. Okay, run. Save your life. Make distance. The next one, put something between you and them, a car, like in this scenario, like a hood of a car. If somebody pulls a knife out, that's another distance management. Put something, a barrier in between you. It could be a bench, something they have to climb over or jump over. It could be a car, like I said, a car hood. You could just be on the other side, but make distance, control distance. You want things, you want distance between them with a knife. Next one, psychological, is going to be fight to the end. You want, and this is a psychological tip, mentally rehearse. People, whether it's MMA fights or real fights or wrestling matches, people will give up. You can feel it when people give up, when their will's crushed and they give. You have to mentally rehearse. If you're gonna be law enforcement or security or something like this, if you're just getting, you know, this is part of your training, you need to mentally rehearse that that you're gonna fight to the end, that you're not gonna give up. That you can't quit, you can't give up. You might have like an extra 20 or 30% of untapped human potential just in the fact if you're willing to not give up. Like there are so many cases of people stabbed, shot, just crazy, crazy things, stuck in mountains, stuck in mine shafts, things like this. But the ability to not give up is so important. It's a huge boost. But you have to mentally rehearse, like, I'm not going to give up. And if you don't, you give yourself a good boost. So you want to mentally rehearse that. Let's see. You can, other options, kind of on earlier, not fighting, but ego stuff. You can walk away, keep your eyes on them though, de-escalate. So you can just divert the conversation when you see that it's starting to get aggressive. You can cut it off pretty early. Sometimes you can. Ask for security, not a problem. Again, if somebody's giving you a problem, ask for security. That's what they're getting paid for. And you can leave the establishment. So you always have, you got that odd as well. So with the scenario, the news story, there was some time period there. That's the sad thing, is that there was some time to get out of it, to short circuit it, stop it, to just leave and get out of there. So if you're in the scenario, I'd highly suggest that, don't push it. Don't be part of the push. And leaving the establishment is always an option. It's not a bad option too. I know that sucks if it's the place that you like to go to. Let's see. Okay, a little bit about crime. So I'm gonna give my tips now. Okay, so this is tips on how to not find yourself in a bar or club where to lower the chance for being somewhere where something violent's gonna happen. All right, so because you definitely can. Especially the young bucks that are listening to this, when you're going to college, you're gonna start going to bars and clubs and everything. What I'm about to say, you're actually probably gonna disagree with, and maybe some other people also disagree because they'll say the prices or something like that. Spending the money and stuff like that, but just hear me out, and I'll give you a little case and see if I can sway you my way. All right, so where you go, the type of club and bar you go to definitely decides the odds of whether there's something bad that happens, and you got control of that. At least you have control of looking up a place and looking at its reviews, and you have control of that. These are some of the tips or some of the things that you can look for, so that you less likely to get hurt. All right, so first one's gonna be age. All right, crime peaks between believe it's age 14 and 25 for males. Below 25 is the peak. It significantly lowers around age 28. Why is that? Let's see. We got encyclopedia.com here. Here we go. Here's a little breakdown piece here. Cognitive and why at 28 does it start to decline? Cognitive and analytical skill development leading to a gradual decline in egocentrism, hedonism, and sense of invincibility, becoming more concerned for others, more accepting of social values, more comfortable in social relations, and more concerned with the meaning of life and their place in things, and seeing their casual delinquencies of youth as childish or foolish. Okay, so that's a breakdown in layman's terms. Bars, like if you're going to a bar or club that's under, what I'm suggesting is go to a bar or club that's 25 and up. Okay, 25 and up. I know you college ones, you're like, oh no, like no, I'm, or you know, I don't want to go to that. It's a bunch of old people. But 25 and up. Under 25 bars always have the worst stuff, okay? Under 21s always have the worst stuff. Like the ones that allow 18 to 21, terrible. Like terrible. I've worked security in them. Terrible. They're always going to have the most stuff. So if they're 18 and up, like don't go there. Like nope, 18 and up, trouble. 18 to 21, that's like the majority of all the trouble. They just drink out in their cars and walk in there, and they're taking pills too, and they're just not thinking. But under 25, layman's terms on the encyclopedia.com's little breakdown was they have no career. They don't have a mortgage. They don't have a lot of money. Like, people won't get in fights when they're worried about getting sued and stuff. If they have more money, you've been working hard over your life, like 20 years, so you don't want to get sued. They don't have children, so they're not responsible with things. And they don't have full frontal cortex development, and that's like significant. So all these, there's a whole bunch of factors, but they're just, they have nothing to lose. They have nothing to lose, and the frontal cortex isn't even developed, so they don't even know that they don't have anything, or they know that they don't have anything to lose. Lots of times they're frustrated about it. I was frustrated at it when I was young too. Anyway, so that's 25 and up. Go 25 and up, bar or club. It's the drinks are going to be more expensive. So this might be one of the critiques. People are going to say, ah, the drinks are more expensive. Okay. Don't want to spend, you know, whatever. You're going there for the social aspect. Well, you're going with friends, you're going to meet people, things like that. The more expensive the place is, the nicer it's going to, the decor is going to be, the aesthetics are going to be nicer. That does have an effect on you. It's very pleasant. There's a reason why people like a bouquet of flowers, like on their coffee table, like why you decorate your room. Or your house. So when you go to a place that 25 and up or a nicer place, the drinks are going to be more expensive, but also is the place going to be nicer. So that's going to have a good effect on you. You're going to enjoy your time more. You do have to dress nicer, but you know, you got to be cleaner, all that good stuff. But guess what? Everybody around you also has to. So instead of worrying about going to like some ratchet bar or something like that, where people are wearing sweatpants and stuff like that going in, everybody's dressed nice. Everybody's clean. You have to dress nice. So, you know, that scenario, you're lowering the chance of getting stabbed or shot. The age as well. You're going into that demographic or that group, that age group that, has less violence. The drinks are more expensive, but they taste better. The ones that are really, really made well, they taste better. I've worked in a fine dining bar. They're much more difficult. They might take 7 or 8 ingredients. And then if you say you're just a liquor person, you don't like, drinks that are made like that. You just like liquor. It's going to be more expensive, but the pour is way heavier. You know, that's a thing about, the nicer the place you go to. If you're saying, I just want scotch on the rocks, you're a scotch. It's going to be a heavier pour. It's just a normal thing when it comes to more expensive bars and clubs. It's a normal thing. It's funny that people will go to like a cheaper bar or club and they don't realize that they're getting shorted on. It's like cheap clubs, cheap bars, give you cheap drinks. Like they don't want to lose, too much product. So, this was one of them that they used to work a bar that I worked in. They called it a Bobo shot, but it was for bachelorette parties, and they would give the shot when the bachelorette parties would come in. The shot like almost has zero liquor. It's like all just juice. It's just all basically juice. But they would give it to bachelorette parties when they come in. But they're not trying to lose money. So the cheaper the bar or club you go to, the weaker your drink is going to be, or the cheaper your drink is going to be for their product loss. Go to a place more expensive, it's also going to be a heavier pour. Let's see. Less violence, older crowd, because the list that I had earlier, they're on the complete opposite of all those things. Prefrontal cortex development, you know, mortgage, career, children, the sense of invincibility, the lowering and hedonism and egocentrism, all that goes down. So anyway. Or here's another one. All right. So for the young bucks, like the 21, 22, 23, 24, and they say, oh, people that are 29, they're old. 28, that's old. I don't want to go hang out with a bunch of old people. All right. And this is the tough thing is that we have some young athletes in the gym. Some of them in the future will probably get, you know, we're going to go to college, get college scholarships. And there will be a time, I would suggest just not to go to any bars or clubs at all. That's what, the biggest thing is like, obviously don't drink under 21. Don't get yourself in trouble. Don't be stupid. But even when it's legal to drink, if you're an athlete, you can only afford to drink a couple times a year, a handful of times a year. You just can't train very well if you're hungover and you have sleep and stuff. So obviously don't do that. But this, my other solution is if you're an athlete, one of the athletes, you get a scholarship, you're going to college, and you're still an athlete, you can't drink regularly, because like I said, your training is going to suffer. You're not going to do well. So don't do that. But there's probably still going to be times where you do, once you're 22, 23, 24, you do want to go out. This would be my suggestion. And you don't want to go to one of those old places where people are over 30 and over 35, stuff like that. You don't want to go, because you're saying I'm 23 and I'm, you know, I don't want to go to one of those old places, right? So my suggestion for you would be, you want to buy a table, or like a VIP table or the equivalent, whatever they have VIP. All right. So when you go to a club, you shouldn't be going to a club very often. You shouldn't be going to a bar very often. But when you do go, maybe the couple times a year that you do go out, save up your money, buy a VIP table, buy whatever the VIP situation that they have is. You're going to be, you'll have your own security. You'll have your own, wait service or bartender. You will, like I said, it has its own security, and you'll be separated from the normal crowd. So the normal crowd that is, when you're in a crowd, it's just more dangerous in general. More likely that when you're around more people and you're surrounded by different people to get sucker punched, or you know, you could accidentally start a fight with somebody. But the other people in the VIP as well, they spent the money to be there as well. More than likely, when you spend a lot of money on a VIP table, you know, you're buying bottles, stuff like that, you're not there to fight. You're not there to get in a big thing like that. You're there to have a good time. You spent more money on it. Okay, you're not there trying to get a cheap drink. You're not trying to get free cover. You're not trying to get $2 tequila shots. If you see $2 tequila shots, don't go there. Like, don't. That's going to attract a bad crowd. You don't want that crowd, okay? You want, that's not going to be good. The alcohol is so cheap, people are just going to drink and drink and drink. When people get super drunk, more violent. And not only that, because if you're buying a VIP table or something like that, you're not going to be able to afford to do it very often. But guess what? If you're an athlete, you shouldn't be going very often. So the couple times a year that you save up and you can do it, it'll be fine. You can do it without being guilt-free. You can have fun and enjoy it, because the last little part to sum this up is there are really, really fun experiences. And if you buy the VIP table, that you're going to get the wherever you're going, even, you know, you're not going to go to one of those 25 and up places. If you buy that VIP table, you're going to get the best experience anyway. You're going to get a better experience than the person just walking around. So, and you'll have a lot of fun. You'll have more fun. So I've done both. Gone down just in the crowd, tons in the crowd for work too. And then much rather, go out 3 or 4 times a year, but get a VIP table every time. Much rather do that. Especially for being an athlete, you can't drink regularly and be a good athlete. So, let's see. Yeah, you'll experience the best thing that the place has to offer. You still get to go to the fun event. You still get to make the fun memories. This is what I say why you don't just stay in. One of my favorite memories, one of the best experiences I've ever had, like fun, exciting wise, was after the WKA World Championships in Edinburgh, Scotland. We left Team USA. All the teams actually went. But one of the cool things that the WKA did for us was they had a club. They got us a VIP section, and it's still the coolest club I've ever been to, ever, because it was like a Blade movie like scene. That's gonna be funny, but it was almost like in an old abandoned like cathedral or something. When we pulled up to it, the WK took us there, and they dropped us off to it was the VIP entrance, and it looked like a cathedral, or you know, just really old architecture, and it was they had construction all around it. Scaffolding thing. So I was like, okay, we're going to this dead, you know, terrible place. But they gave us, again, we went through the VIP entrance. It was so cool. This is why spending the money's worth it. There's way more details than this, but I'll never forget. It was cool. The VIP entrance was a glass walkway that walked over the main dance floor. It was good music, everything like that. But you know, it was over the main dance floor. It was really, really cool as you're walking through it. And we had our own section. So, but you know, you hear that story, it's not cool, but the memories in my mind. So in closing, you still need to enjoy life. Don't let the news story scare you. Don't be terrified. It's worth it to go out and actually do stuff. All my young athletes, if you hear me saying this, I'm not telling you to go drink. Do not drink under 21. Don't be stupid and get yourself in trouble. And even if you're over 21, I'm not encouraging you to go out and drink regularly, because you can't be a good athlete, whatever sport or martial art you're looking to do, if you're drinking regularly. But you also don't have to just, stay in your house, in your living room either. So there's a lot of fun stuff to go to do out there. So hopefully, I hope everybody enjoyed this episode, and, we're open Saturday and Sunday, normal classes, and I will post the New Year's schedule, tomorrow. So I'll have that up probably right after this podcast is uploaded as well. So I hope everybody is, I hope everybody's having a good day, and see everybody before New Year's. If I don't see you before New Year's, Happy New Year's, and see you in 2020. All right. Thanks for listening. Bye.